Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We are now in an era of climate change and extreme weather. If you don't believe me, take a look at the Deep South today. They are suffering from another ice storm. Or you can look across Texas and the Southwest at the impact of the drought. That's not going away. Look at the UK across the pond, where flooding and record tides are wreaking havoc. Here in San Antonio, the changing environment brings up big questions and great challenges. There's also the question about air quality and solid waste disposal and our water resources. We're seeing hotter summers and colder winters. This week, a local conference is being held to talk about this. We're joined by Bill Barker. He is the formerly with the City of San Antonio Office of Sustainability. We're talking about this conference that's coming up, and we invite you to join the discussion about what do you think is going to be happening to San Antonio in the future, what environmental challenges that we have, and what kind of action can we take today to deal with that. Our number is 614-8980, 614-8980. You could also email us at thesource@tpr.org. So, Bill Barker, welcome to The Source.
Thank you.
So, tell me about this conference. This is you want a community discussion. What do you think is the focus of this conference?
Yes. Well, I'm on the board of a group called Imagine San Antonio, which believes there should be community-wide discussions on issues affecting San Antonio and the changing climate, the trends that we see in temperature and in precipitation and so on, caused that group to realize we needed to get together and talk about this and make sure that San Antonio is in a good position.
So these are trends. These are look like hard trends that we are – the science is there. We can – if you want to debate about who's causing it or whatever, that's fine. But we know this is happening, right?
Right. And we call this a business meeting, not a political rally. If you talk to people that are in business or in the fire department or whatever, they know that things are different and they're changing. And they were very quick to join with us to come together and talk about these issues.
I mean, tell me more about why is this a business meeting?
It's not about politics. It's about hard trends that businesses are facing with regard to water, with regard to temperatures and what those do, what the temperatures can do to infrastructure. It's about protecting their employees and making sure that they're safe and can do the travel that they need to do.
Some of these things are already happening now. We're seeing up in West Texas that there's less food production and activity there, and we've seen businesses closed and move, like that would service the agricultural business. They're moving out of West Texas, so this is not a fantasy. It's happening now, but they're wondering, is San Antonio somehow special? We're not going to be impacted by it. I mean, we live officially in a semi-arid environment. Maybe the semi could fall off that title.
Well, water is perhaps San Antonio's biggest issue, and we are under water restrictions now.
Perpetually.
Perpetually at this point. Plus, we are also seeing flooding. US 281, for example, has flooded on an average every 5 years now, since about 1998, I think, was the first time it flooded in recent time. And so our facilities are being impacted by this. Over 100,000 people a day use US 281 in the Olmos Basin area, and to shut down a facility of that magnitude on a regular basis is, I don't think, acceptable.
So when we hear people kind of laugh and say, "Oh, climate warming or global warming," and they see right now it's Atlanta and North Carolina are frozen solid. Global warming is a misnomer. We don't use the term global warming anymore, right? It's climate change or catastrophic climate change.
Climate change, I think, is more appropriate because that's what's changing is the climate. That is, our normal expectation of weather patterns is what's changing. What we see now, as you pointed out, is Atlanta experiencing these what I think ABC News called it catastrophic storms, the flooding in England that you mentioned, and here in this part of the world, of course, we're having kind of an odd winter and expectations for a very dry and warm summer.
Got a question from our Twitter feed, our Twitter followers. My question, what do you think the biggest issue San Antonio is facing environmentally, Mr. Barker?
Well, I do think that water is the most important issue for San Antonio, and I'm pretty proud of what SAWS has been doing over the years to shore up our water supplies and has an aggressive water conservation program. As you know, people from around the country and even outside this country come to learn what SAWS has accomplished, and but water remains a big issue for us.
And air quality is another big issue for us also. Where are we with air quality?
Well, ozone is which is a health issue, is now above accepted federal standards. It has been in the last few years. We haven't been officially designated as a non-attainment area for ozone, but whether or not we're designated, the reason there are limits to ozone is because of the effect it has on human health.
I want to keep bringing this back to the conference because I just don't want to have us kvetching about what's happening with the environment. But, you know, here we have an opportunity for folks who may be listening who are very concerned about what San Antonio challenges are, what we are across the state or the nation or the global challenge. And so what is actually – you keep calling it a business meeting, but I'm not really able to process that. What's going to happen here?
Well, rather than, as you point out, debate on what the causes are or whatever, the purpose of this meeting is to determine, okay, what is it that we need to do? What are we prepared for? What are we not prepared for? What do we need to do as government entities or businesses here in this area in order to make sure that we're in good stead as we go forward with the trends that we're seeing right now?
And our phone lines are open. If you've got a question or a comment about San Antonio's, and you know, how susceptible we are or vulnerable we are to climate change, give us a call. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. So, you know, you were at the – Bob, you were just at – not Bob, but Bill, you were just at the San Antonio Office of Sustainability. How – is this present in City Hall? Do they worry about these things?
Well, this was an initiative that I was involved with when I was with the city, and I retired at the end of January. So I'm speaking really for myself or for Imagine San Antonio, not the city at this point. But certainly these issues are issues that keep coming up in different parts of the city and have to be dealt with.
Right, and but we need leadership, you know, from our leaders, you know, like we said, this is not a political rally, but this has become a political issue, and some people are reluctant to be able to step up and say, this is here, this is now, we've got to make some tough decisions, because you know, some people will call you a tree hugger or what have you. But we're going to continue the conversation. We definitely want to hear from callers. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk with Dr. Vincent Nathan with the Bexar County Metro Health about health impacts. This is impacting our health here in the area. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX, water, drought, extreme weather, wildfires, public health, energy, carbon emissions, and strategies to deal with all of these changing factors that we have for our environment here in South Texas, across the nation, around the globe. This weekend, there is a chance for a community discussion. There's a conference, the San Antonio Environmental Challenges Conference, being hosted by Imagine SA. And we invite you to call in and give us your ideas and weigh in on this. Our number is 614-8980. We're bringing now Dr. Vincent Nathan into the conversation. He's with the Bexar County Metro Health. And Dr. Nathan, tell me about, like, we're talking about air quality. So I'll give you my eye sting and whatever, but is it really impacting our health?
Well, yes. Air pollution, air quality does have an impact on both the respiratory system as well as the cardiovascular system. So from that perspective, yes, poor air quality does have a detrimental effect on health.
But we've also heard that poor air quality, or like high ozone levels like we have here in San Antonio, can lead to higher rates of asthma and can also lead to lower birth weights and higher infant mortality. Is that right?
Well, yes, in that ozone, the ozone, low-level ozone that we're really talking about as an air pollutant, does impact the health of anybody, poor air quality. We are approaching ozone non-attainment, but we haven't reached that point yet, as Bill mentioned earlier. Nevertheless, we're preparing for San Antonio is the last major city in the United States to be in attainment for ozone, under the ozone standard. And so we are watching it. We are planning. And it's not just the city of San Antonio. It's the whole region, the whole metropolitan statistical area. So it's a large area. It's a lot of impacts on our air quality, hydraulic fracturing that's occurring west of us, the air pollution from all the refineries to the east of us, as well as the emissions around locally.
All right. We've got a lot of callers. I want to get them in on the conversation. Our number is 614-8980. Hank has called in. Hank, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. Yeah, my name is Hank, and I was calling in to bring up another part of this concern about our environment, and that's the impact of all our expansion and construction, whether it be private homes, commercial, just real estate development that's happening all over the city, especially across the north side from the northeast, north central, and northwest, and all the land that has been covered up by concrete. As well as, and you brought up water as a big concern, the increased number of people that are using water, at least in my opinion, it doesn't seem like it is being very well planned as far as what environmental impact studies are being done or passed when this development is happening.
Okay, Hank. Where do you live?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I live on the north side. Okay. Leon Springs.
So you got a good view of it.
Yeah, I get stuck in it every day.
All right, Hank, thanks for calling in. I appreciate that. Dr. Nathan, go ahead.
Yeah, well, the most interesting thing about development is where they are developing. The farther developers go, the more what we call vehicle miles travel. Going back to ozone, the biggest impact of ozone are automobiles. Fossil fuel combustion. And the more automobiles and the longer they travel, the more NOx and VOCs that are emitted by the vehicles, and therefore an increase in ozone.
I just want to add that someone living on the very edge of the urban area may be driving three times as much as somebody that lives in the inner city. And so the households that are being added on the very edge are really making a big difference on this vehicle miles of travel that Dr. Nathan brought up.
But the caller brought up a lot of factors. One of them is this growth, being able to, we're losing trees, we're gaining impervious cover. That's kind of hurting our collection of water with the recharge zone and also a heat islands that continues to grow. And so it's not a good combo.
Right. And the heat island effect is something that's going to be talked about at this conference, because it's something that I don't think there's been a rigorous discussion about it here in San Antonio. In Chicago, for example, the city government there has led an effort to require green roofs in
what's a green roof?
A green roof, in this case, it can have vegetation on it. But there's also what's called a cool roof, where they pick materials that keep the roof cooler, which keeps not only the building cooler, but also the surrounding area.
So am I going to have to mow my roof? Is that?
Well, maybe you could go pick some fruit and vegetables from your roof.
Yeah, some salad.
There you go.
So, All right, let's keep some callers coming. We've got a lot of callers. I want to get them on the air. Jeff has called in. Jeff, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. A caller earlier touched on something about, I guess, the ethical development in the North Side area. I guess there's not really a lot of education out there. I'm wondering if there's more educational resources on where our water comes from and just things that people can find to learn about where their water comes from. Because as we know, the water cycle works on certain levels, but the actual specifics of how it, you know, filters back into deep ground aquifers and such could be affected by construction processes. And also, I guess you were just talking about sustainable, passive options for architectural elements that you can add to your home. There's a number of things that can be done in that aspect, and I think just pooling those resources together could do a lot for people just to have options to look at with their home, what they can do. You know, there's plenty of things that our government can do with ordinances and stuff, but, you know, I mean, stuff like that I think should be made available to the public. And educational outreach programs are what's going to be needed to do that.
Jeff, thanks for that call. You bring up some good points. So Jeff is really talking about this is a people problem. It's going to be a people solution, not a government solution. We've got to get everyone on board, and everyone is going to have to buy in. So how are you doing that, Bill?
Well, not alone, that's for sure. It will take a community effort, and that's why I'm tickled that the corporations that we hear about all the time in San Antonio, Toyota, HEB, USAA, Rackspace, are involved with this conference, because it's going to take more than just whatever government can do. It's going to take a community-wide effort to achieve the kind of changes that are needed.
So let's talk just a little bit more about public health and the impact on public health. So Dr. Nathan, what are you keeping an eye on to draw the conclusions that the change in environment is having an impact on public health?
Well, one of the things that our department, the Metro Health, is involved in the built environment. And the built environment looks at issues of low-impact development, how conservation measures, the walkability and even bikeability of the community. So the community education piece is very important, but also to build the physical infrastructure as well. And so we are looking at that and what impact those measures have on public health. And they have a measurable, because the more people we keep out of cars, the less pollution also. And it's a trickle-down effect. But education clearly is an important piece of that.
Back to the phones now. Rebecca has called in. Rebecca, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. My question was about the water source and the addition of fluoride that has been added since we are getting the water from the aquifer. My concern is, I know that fluoride was added as a preventive measure for dental caries, but it also has an effect on people with thyroid problems like myself. I have to be very careful about the amount of water that I'm drinking because of the fluoride that's in there. I know it's probably an amount that is probably regulated and approved of, but, you know, I think adding that was probably not the best thing to do.
Okay, Rebecca, thank you. Well, thank you for your comments. So, Dr. Nathan, yeah. Fluoride?
Yes, we support fluoride in water. And the reason why she mentioned dental caries issue, but it's in levels that aren't really harmful to normal kidney and function. However, people that do have compromised tissues, they do have to be careful. They probably do have to filter their water somewhat. But the water is very safe with the amounts of fluoride that is added. And the cost-benefit or the benefit to adding fluoride far outweighs any of the adverse effects.
So we've seen positive results. Children in San Antonio growing up with better dental care, stronger teeth.
We have some additional support from our dental division and Metro Health going out to elementary schools in particular, and also taking care of dental in children and underserved populations.
Back to the phones. Gilbert's called in. Gilbert, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm an environmental science major at the University of Texas at San Antonio, and a caller had called earlier comment about education, and it's very important that people really try to educate themselves here in San Antonio, especially. You know, there's a big green movement in Austin, but Mayor Castro and University of Texas San Antonio, and more importantly, the Texas Sustainable Energy Research Institute at San Antonio, is really trying to push for people to educate themselves. And if you just Google a few things like the Texas Sustainable Energy Research Institute at UTSA, there's a lot of different links that you can look up. And
all right. Gilbert, thank you so much. That's some great comments. Great to close on with more information, more opportunities for people to get informed. We have this conference this weekend. Where do I go to find out more about that bill?
You can go to either the Imagine San Antonio website, which is imaginesanantonio.org, or solarsanantonio.org.
And this is The Source on KSTX. Thanks for listening.